Brothers, do you remember how you felt when you were first called to Freemasonry? The excitement of each degree? If you still feel the call of the East, join me and thousands of Masons like us as we continue our Masonic journey as Scottish Rite Masons. For 5 years, I've been a proud Scottish Rite Mason. Since joining, I've made friends with Masons from far and wide. I've grown as a man and a Mason, guided by the light from Scottish Rite's 29 degrees and 6 core values, and I've continued to hone my craft thanks to their great Masonic programming for members. If you're feeling the call for more, there's a great way to get involved with Scottish Rite. It's called Thursday Night at the Rite. Thursday Night at the Rite brings together thousands of Scottish Rite Masons online to witness degrees, deepen our connection to our craft, and learn more about ourselves and our brothers. And a new season kicks off on February 1st. Not a member yet? No problem. Submit your application online. Once it's accepted, you can join the Scottish Rite online too, right before any Thursday night at the Rite. You can also join in person at a Scottish Rite reunion near you. To learn more about Scottish Rite and to see this year's Thursday Night at the Rite schedule, visit srnmj.us/Thursday Night. I've witnessed the power of Thursday Night at the Rite in enriching my Masonic experience. It's not just an event. It's a journey that brings us closer to perfecting our Ashlers, and you don't want to miss it.
This episode is brought to you by Brothers and Bonds Co. With an expertly curated line of Masonic apparel, gifts, and accessories, we're excited to show you what makes us uniquely Brothers and Bonds. As a listener of this podcast, we're offering you 10% off your first order with us. Just use code TRAVELINGMAN at checkout. That's uppercase, all one word, TRAVELINGMAN. Be sure to find us on Instagram or at brothersandbonds.com.
Hello, welcome to episode 81 of the Traveling Man Masonic Podcast here in the 24th District of Ohio, a podcast where we discuss our Masonic journeys, thoughts, family, life, future, connections made through the craft, and so much more. I'm your host, Rite Worshipper Brother Jim Hall. On today's show, we'll feature Brother James Dale. The opinions discussed on this podcast are those of the individual and do not represent the views of Grand Lodge or any other Masonic body. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. Okay, we are here on episode 81 of the Traveling Man Masonic Podcast, and we have Brother Jim Dill here. Brother, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Jim, I can't tell you how I feel about being here. This is any opportunity to talk about Freemasonry is a good time.
Absolutely. I love talking about it. 81 shows strong. People are getting tired of hearing me. Thank you. So enough about hearing about me. Let's hear a little bit about you. Give us a little bit of insight on who you are, what you do, where your family's located, and where you work.
Well, first, I am a family person. I have a little saying in my family. It's all about three things. Family, family, family.
That's right.
I'm blessed be married for quite a while, and I have three daughters, Tanya, awesome. Angela, Diana. I'm three times blessed. No sons. I'm blessed, and nine grandchildren.
Wow.
So I'm doing my best to repopulate the planet. But I live in Boston. I am a true Bostonian too. Don't listen to all the suburbs. You know, somebody's saying they're from Boston. I'm a true Bostonian. I live there. And my 18 and a half mile drive every day to Lexington, to the Scottish Rite headquarters, our Supreme Council, takes me over an hour to go 18 and a half miles. That's Boston traffic. If you're a Bostonian, you don't really care. You're just yelling at people in the car next door.
Right. So are you a Celtics fan? We got to go that first.
Well, I'm a Boston fan, which means we're everything. And Celtics are like the most amazing, maybe since the 80s team. I don't know. We'll have to see soon.
Say, that's my 80s. My mom actually has a funny story where she melted the bottles She was boiling bottles and she melted them during the finals. She was a
Yeah,
Bird fan, so I love it.
no, I'm an everything Boston fan, and people who don't live in Boston may not understand it. Our teams are part of our city culture. They're not, you don't have to be a baseball fan to love the Red Sox. They're the Red Sox.
Yeah.
That's the way it is here.
I love it. Love it. So, how about your lodge? When did you join? Where did you join? How did that come about? Blue Lodge, that
So
is.
my blue lodge, I'm actually in two lodges, but my home lodge is called Dalhousie Lodge.
Okay.
It was established in 1860. It's in Newton, Massachusetts.
Okay.
I'm part of the 5th District. And I became a Mason in that lodge in 1979 because that was where my father was.
Oh,
So
nice.
I'm a legacy, and I call my brother my father. Unfortunately, he's passed, but I call my father brother, my uncle brother, and my brother brother. So
Wow.
it's a Dalhousie Lodge is full of Dills.
Love that.
So in 1989, I served as the worshipful master there, and 2010, for some reason, I fooled somebody, and they made me district deputy grand master.
Okay.
So, I don't know how that happened. I think they were thinking about maybe somebody else.
Right.
But I'm also a member of Union Lodge, which is the
Okay.
6th district, and that's special to me because that's a 1796 lodge, and it's Grand Master Paul Revere chartered that lodge. And there's still quite a few Paul Revere lodges left in existence, not
Yeah.
just in Massachusetts, because at one time Maine was part of Massachusetts.
Sure.
So Paul Revere was a busy Grand Master. So that's and unfortunately, Jim, and when you're involved in appendant bodies and trying to have a life and everything
Right.
else, it's been too long since I've been to my lodges. I miss my brothers. I wish I could get back more.
I am 100% in tune with you. I'm on the reverse. I actually am serving my first year as district deputy in the 24th district of Ohio, and sometimes I don't know if I have time for myself traveling
No, I hear
around,
you.
so
So
but
congratulations and good luck with
thank you. And once again, I must have fooled somebody. I don't know how
that.
it must have been Hall with a U and they put an A in there. I don't know. So how about appendant body? So you've been at two blue lodges here for quite some time. What was the move? What moved the needle to say, you know what, I'm ready to expand my horizons Masonically?
Well, it was Scottish Rite, and although I am an Aleppo Shriner, I am a member of the Royal Order of Scotland, and one time I was a York Rite Mason, but I wasn't participating, and I didn't continue that. I
Sure.
am a Scottish Rite Mason. Everything about the Scottish Rite excites me.
Yeah.
It makes my Masonic journey full, and I can't tell you how many friends I have as a result of being a Scottish Rite Mason. I joined the Scottish Rite in 1991.
Okay.
And it's because a brother asked me. He
Nice.
literally took me by the hand. Unfortunately, that's not happening as often as it should, because
Sure.
everybody's just living such busy lives.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, when I went to the Scottish Rite, the Valley of Boston is a special building. We're in the Grand Lodge building downtown Boston. So we're in an old, huge, historic, beautiful building,
Yeah.
and we have a Scottish Rite theater inside of it, a large theater.
Sure.
So when I went there and I saw the pageantry and I saw how hard all these brothers were working on their parts, because we do stage adaptations of degrees, we don't do
Yes.
it in a lodge hall. I became very excited by it. It kind of scratched my high school memory of being Cornelius Hackel and Hello Dolly, I guess.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I was just hooked. And I immediately got involved because I asked. I just could I be on the production crew? I don't care if it's behind stage moving props. I just
Yeah.
think it would be a very cool thing. And over many, many years, I just kept on rising and rising and rising with getting more and more involved. And that's how I became hooked on
Yeah.
Scottish Rite.
I love that. I love Two things. Number one, I love that you asked. And doesn't that have a symbolism with Blue Laws Freemasonry? You just gotta ask. And you asked, and here you go. And then, that theatric part of it, I actually had held off joining Scottish Rite up until my master year in 2019. And my thought process was, I don't have time to learn ritual returns. It was just in my head. I hadn't really inquired. And then I spoke to one of the guys. They're like, no, this isn't how this is. And they kind of explained what you said. I'm like, that actually sounds like something that I might really enjoy. So we had a whole group of us from East Palestine join and really enjoyed just being able to watch it and be immersed in it. That was
We do, for some reason, tend to wait to be asked. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's if it's Freemasons or men in general. I don't know which, because I, being over 40 years of Freemason, I don't know how to actually separate the two. I'm a man and a Mason.
Right.
As our Path Forward team tells you, not just a man, a Mason. So I used to teach. When I was a district deputy grandmaster, a little saying, and it goes like this: it's 10 words, two letters each. If it is to be, it is up to me. And that's a phrase of leadership that I tried to teach in Lodge of Instruction. Don't wait for your master to lead. You have something in your life that you can lead with, so do it. There's something you're good at. But that is, and so I don't understand. Maybe that's the same reason we wait to be asked. We're just waiting to lead. I think Freemasonry is best when all of our talents are being utilized.
You're right. And I think you're right as a just males in general. We don't like to ask for directions. We don't, you know what I mean? We'll figure it out, right? And it's so much easier if you just ask the question. Isn't that crazy? Right. And I've also wrote that quote down. So I'm gonna steal that. I appreciate you lending it to me.
All right.
So how about for listeners out there who aren't Scottish Rite Masons? How can they attend? How can they get involved?
Well, there's two ways. There is the traditional way that I explained, where a brother actually took me by the hand and brought me in, but that doesn't always work. And this is all because of COVID. We
Yeah.
have developed in the northern Masonic jurisdiction a way for you to join online. And it's all kind of tied in with our Path Forward efforts with not just a man, a Mason, and beafreemason.com. Well, we've taken it into our own Scottish Rite experience by offering online application and actually online degree witnessing. So we've tried to, COVID forced us. We had to
Sure.
figure out a way where we all could get together. And we've kind of turned lemon into lemonade.
Yeah.
So there's the two ways, the old-fashioned way, but you can go online. We've made it easy. Literally, all a brother has to do is go to our website.
Okay.
Scottish Rite, or the Masonic jurisdiction, is srnmj.org. That's what srnmj.org stands for. Scottish Rite, Northern Masonic Jurisdiction. You can apply right there online. And it's the same process as if you handed in a petition. You're not put on some kind of other type of list.
Right.
It's a petition. And after the valley receives it, looks at it, accepts it, proves it, you will be notified, and you're able to go online in your own home and witness our private broadcast of what we call now Join the Rite Night. And Join
Yeah.
the Rite Night is on about a half an hour before every Thursday night at the Rite, which is a television show, which we'll probably talk about more. But it's an online program that allows you to witness our initiation lesson. That's the fourth degree. For those of you who don't know Scottish Rite, your first three degrees in Freemasonry are part of our process and our foundation. And then we begin at the fourth degree and we go 29 more, up to 32. And there really should be, not just teaching you the lessons of Freemasonry, they should be always building on your Masonic foundation.
Yeah.
That is the reason why we have so many of them, so that we can talk about individual little parts of it and really enlarge and focus in or focus in on it more. So it also contains our Declaration of Principles, so you understand a little bit about where we come from and other instructions, so that you know what it's like to be what are the terms like. In Grand Lodge, it's a Grand Lodge. And in Blue Lodge, it's a Grand Lodge. In
Right.
Scottish Rite, it's a Supreme Council. In Blue Lodge, it's a lodge. And for us, it's a valley. We
Right.
have a they have a Grand Master. We have a Sovereign Grand Commander who we owe, no matter what jurisdiction we are always subject to the rules of the Grand Master and the Grand Lodge of within which jurisdiction we reside.
Sure.
So that all of that, you get all of that, and then what's most important is just 20 minutes later, after we get done with that Join the Rite process, you can join Thursday night at the Rite and watch your full a full first qualified degree and get credit for it on your way to getting to your 32nd degree. And you don't have to take all 32nd degrees, the th 29 degrees to become a 32nd degree. That's a That's I don't want to scare anybody.
Right.
There's a certain cut. You really only have to have four or five. I can't remember how exactly it works because I'm not in the membership department. But you need to have something from each body, and that's a
Yes.
whole another story. The Scottish Rite bodies that takes like two shows to explain.
Yeah, there's it's all I know the first time they told me each one, I'm like, wait a minute, what? I was
Yeah.
like, I was lost. But so let's jump into to Thursday night at the Rite, and then we'll kind of back up to when Join the Rite Night came along with that,
Okay.
right? So
Yeah.
Thursday night at the Rite, obviously right now, what can a candidate expect logging into that the first time? And like I said, we'll move back to Join the Rite when you guys started that and kind of touch on COVID and move on through.
All right. So yeah, because the only way to explain Thursday night at the Rite to a Freemason who we are so guarded and careful about our degrees, you
Sure.
would you it sounds kind of crazy that we actually have a television show that you can go to and watch our degrees,
Yeah.
which we know are intended to be not secret. They're not secret, but they're intended to be personal, and they're part of our Masonic family. We decide who we share it with.
Sure.
So, as I said a little earlier, COVID and the pandemic are the reason why Thursday night at the Rite happened.
Yeah.
When the government started to be close down the buildings, they limited public events. It was really intense for us. Just so your viewers know, the Northern Masonic jurisdiction of Scottish Rite is the 15 states north of the Mason-Dixon line and east of the going out to the Mississippi River, or the Mississippi River all the way back east,
Yes.
because back when we began, that was the only there weren't states in the West.
Right.
So that's how we became the Northern Masonic jurisdiction. So when I say that, people know what I'm talking about. But in the Northern Masonic jurisdiction, we were especially hit because we're northern cities, and it devastated Boston and New York
Sure.
and Philly, Detroit. They got crunched.
Yeah.
So we had to come up with a way. The Sovereign Grand Commander met the Path Forward team, which basically was Linda Patch and I, who she's the director of marketing, and I was in charge of media at the time. And he literally that he asked us, "What are you going to do? How are we going to get the members engaged and connected?" So luckily, for about 10 years, we had been from time to time shooting some of our degrees and making them into movies. Not
Yeah.
like we do for Thursday night at the Rite, literally making them into real movies. But you can appreciate that costs a lot of money to do it.
Oh
So you
my
can't
God.
just do it like every month, let's do another movie. They literally take more than a year to do. But we ended up having a little library. So my first inclination was, well, why don't we just share the library with them?
Oh yeah.
Give them a reason to log in. There wasn't much to it.
Sure.
I was sitting here in the dining room where you're looking at me right now with a microphone, doing all the voiceover, sending it over to the person that worked for me, whose name is Eric, and he would like compile it all, and we did a lot of text effects and stuff because we couldn't even get into the studio to shoot each other to shoot anything. So that's not what it looks like now, but that's how it began. Every broadcast kind of follows the same formula, but it's matured. I hope it's gotten better. It's made a better Masonic journey for our brothers, but it's like a television show. Not only do you witness degrees, but you can also receive some Masonic education, some current event that you may not know about, some Scottish Rite programming information you may not know about. And what the most popular, we do lots of surveys. With the most popular thing in it is two things. We do a behind the scenes interview with members from the Valley. So if we come, and I'm going to put the challenge out to you right now, Jim, if we come out to the Valley of Youngstown and do a Thursday night at the Rite, we will actually sit down with members of the Valley of Youngstown so that people in Portland, Maine know that although we're on the same journey, we may take some little different paths depending on where we are. So they get to learn a little bit more about the valley. They get to learn more about the people and what makes them tick. So that's really popular. And the second part of it is when the degree is not running, we have chat. And the interaction that you find, the new friends that are made, the old friends that are reunited, they just, and it was even more intense during COVID because people literally couldn't speak to other people. And they were so excited just to be together, which is Scottish Rite. It's all about our degree program for helping us learn those principles that we're supposed to live our life by, and being brothers and being together. So all of those things come together on Thursday night at the Rite.
I can remember the beginning of it during COVID, and that was, I live Masonry, I love Masonry. So when everything got shut down, it was just such a yearning for my brothers. I just missed everybody, and I can remember those first few with the graphics up and thinking. The first time it came up, I'm like, okay, what's the story here? Because nobody knew other than a few things that were posted, social media and email. And I really, really got excited when I got logged on and you started to see guys, hey, so and so from Philadelphia, so and so from the Valley of Fireland, so and so. And then it was almost like a sense of pride, like I'm checking in from the Valley of Youngstown, and you're looking to see if you see some of your guys on there. And then a few of the degrees, I actually saw guys from my valley that were acting in them. So I'm like, wow, I got to screenshot this now and send it to them. So it was an experience that I think Masons, especially Scottish Rite Masons, we needed something to come together over because there was nothing there. It was such a crazy, crazy time.
Let me tell you a story that still hits home with me, and I'll withhold any of the name so I don't embarrass the person. So in season three, we were still having trouble getting to, we were still wearing masks all the time, and things weren't great. And a brother sent me an email and said, my dad's in a nursing home. He's a Scottish Rite Mason, and he literally can't leave even his bed. And could you send me a link so that I could show him? It was right after we did the new fourth degree. And so I could show it to him. And I did. And about a week later, I got a note card from him saying that how much his father it meant to his father, and how they got to share that evening together. And unfortunately, a few days later, his father passed away. But that is like one of his last memories of his dad sharing the Thursday night at the right moment. And stories like that just make me, when if you want to wonder, is it worth it? after you read something like that, I don't think you need to read. If you're a Mason and you bleed blue blood like me, I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah, all the time in the world meant it was worth it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So how about at what situation in this does Join the Right Knight fall into the fold?
Well, it wasn't actually until season two. That
Okay.
really wasn't in the beginning. First, I'll be honest with you, neither Linda or I thought we were going to have more than one season.
Okay.
First, did you actually believe COVID, the pandemic, was going to last as long as it did? You
No.
know, we were going to get vaccinations and everything was going to be better. We
Yeah,
couldn't get it
we're
again.
back to normal, right?
But it didn't happen. So about season two happens, and now we have the compounding issue. Not only do we not have a meaningful place for our members to gather together and have part of their Masonic journey together, we can't actually offer our services and our programming to people that aren't Scottish Rite Masons.
Sure.
So it actually joined the Right Knight was right after we did a virtual reunion. So that
Okay.
was the first step we did. We did a full virtual reunion, and I won't explain it all, but we literally opened it. The Sovereign Grand Commander opened it, and we did the fourth degree. We did one degree from each body,
Yeah.
so that the member at the end of it could be a 32nd degree Mason.
Yeah.
It was so successful that we decided a couple of weeks later to tie it to Thursday Night at the Rite. In the
Sure.
beginning, we did it like two or three times during a season. For the last two seasons, it's every one, and the numbers are overwhelming. I won't tell you what they are, but it's in literally last year we had nearly 1,000 new members that came in through Join the Right Knight in that season alone.
Wow.
So I'm doing my part, Jim.
Yeah, I love it. And that's perking my ears up working and my position is director of programs at the Grand Lodge of Ohio. It's like, how can we make this all, and maybe it isn't virtual at Blue Lodge yet, but how do we work on this digital age and continue to bring that into the fold? Because that's what it is. You have to do that. And
Sure.
that's amazing. It's amazing for
And you
you.
and I have never met each other before. At least I don't recall. I apologize if we have, but
Nope.
because I'm a part of the Fast Forward team, Ohio is one of the jurisdictions of Grand Lodges that really has put that whole digital idea and utilizing our digital assets. They were probably the first jurisdiction that used all our Not Just a Man, a Mason material
Sure.
completely integrated into their programming. And in fact, you use your state uses the same advertising company that began with
Yes.
us. They came up with the Not Just a Man, a Mason concept for us. So Ohio, people should other states out there, if the other brothers you're listening to me, put some pressure on your Grand Lodges. There's a whole lot of ways to capture the benefits of this digital world. Don't let it go by us. I'm 68 and I'm telling you that.
Yes. Absolutely. So for maybe brothers that have not done Thursday Night at the Rite, what kind of value is it bringing those members?
Well, as I was thinking about this show, Jim, it came to me that the most significant result is something that I never even think of. And that in the Northern Masonic jurisdiction, we have a degree passport program. So that whenever you go to law, because you can't obviously get 29 degrees in one day,
Sure.
when you go to a typical reunion, maybe you're getting three or four degrees. So you go to the secretary's office with your passport, and he literally stamps the degrees
Yeah.
that you witnessed.
Say
Well,
I have mine in the briefcase right beside my desk.
are you
Yeah.
gold yet? Are you gold yet?
I am not.
Okay, you're working towards it.
I'm working towards it. Yes.
Okay, so and well, that's what's happened. When we began, we just had a passport program, but now we have a gold passport program. because of Thursday night, we literally have members that show up every single episode to watch A New Degree. And they never seem to get tired of it. But there's a lot of, we figured out a way digitally to stamp your passport.
Sure.
So you get credit. So if our degrees, like our degrees in Freemasonry, our degrees in Scottish Rite, are intended to teach you important life lessons,
yeah,
the way you should carry yourself as a man, well, more people are getting more education through Thursday night at the Rite than it has ever been possible before. And in fact, we had to make a gold passport because so many people are seeing so many degrees.
You know, that was on top of COVID. I knew when I joined, I guess I was expecting to get 29 degrees. And, uh-huh. and you know, that maybe wasn't explained to me by the gentleman at my lodge, which that's neither here nor there. That's okay. But I sat back and I asked afterwards, I'm like, well, what about the other degrees? What do I do now? And that, you know, they said the reunions we have and, you know, different places have different ones and we like to put them out there. And as soon as COVID hit, obviously I'm not going anywhere, and this popped up and I'm watching it. And I remember, I don't know if it's an email or it might've been on Facebook, somebody posted, well, how do you get credit for these? And there was a, you know, go here, click this, do that. And the first time I watched one and I saw it pop up on my membership, you know, from Supreme Council instead of the Valley of Youngstown, I'm like, hey, look at this. I have an opportunity. And, you know, it changes the whole thing because, you know, maybe we don't get a certain degree in my valley. So now it's like, okay, I either have to go to Firelands or Cleveland or, you know, Pittsburgh, somewhere. Now I'm taking time driving on top of the day, which I have a significant other who, she just loves me around. It's crazy. So, you know, I can only go out so many times before she starts getting upset. So that was one of those drivers for me was, you know what? And I have 8 through Thursday night of the right I've got. And I'm not the gold yet, but it was a nice thing to say, hey, you know what? I like coming back and I'm accomplishing something. And it kind of rolled me into the HOTS grads as well. So, you know, it's really awesome what you're doing and the availability, whereas some guys can't travel as much like that.
Well, I've thought of two things when I was listening to you talk. And I think that I won't have it in time for this upcoming Thursday night at the right episode, but I think I'm going to do a little 15 or 20 second piece that explains that the 29 degrees and what you have to, that you don't see them in order, but you don't have to, and you're still 30 seconds. Maybe something, because maybe we do need to clear that up. But one of the things that hit me, and it wasn't funny at the time, we laugh about it looking back on it, we had two problems with the early seasons of Thursday Night at the Rite. The first was the members crashed our website.
Okay.
We really didn't anticipate 1,500 people. Maybe we didn't understand what COVID was doing to people's spirits.
Yeah.
But we did not really think that 1,500 people were going to hit the website at one time and try to sign in so they could get the show. And they literally crashed it. And over this first season, it crashed a few times.
Yeah.
So luckily, we have a great IT team. And we have built and built and built. But the same thing happened with credit, passport credit.
Sure. And
so many people would be trying to jump in like 2 minutes before the degree credits happened that they crashed it. And now nobody can get credit.
That was me. I was on it. I'm like, is it happening? What's going on?
And that doesn't happen anymore. That you know, the Supreme Council, we're kind of unique. As even as appendant bodies go, and definitely unique to Blue Lodge in that we have two Supreme Councils that govern the entire United States of America.
Sure.
So we have more assets available than a Grand Lodge or even the York Rite, the way it's structured. They don't have the type of assets we have because they're not national in scope.
Yes.
So we've bought from our failures during it, and luckily we've learned it. We've learned a lot, and none of us have been fired, so we must be doing all right.
Right. So let's go back to that. This comes up in the Thursday night at the right, and I know sometimes we kind of had COVID forcing our hand, but even in my lodge, when we bring stuff up, there's always those grumpy past masters that say that's not how we used to do it. What was the did you get any flack? And we'll say through the first season, because obviously the Sovereign Grand Commander asked, you guys were moving forward, but did you catch any flack along the way saying, hey, wait a minute, this is maybe a little too forward?
So, Jim, we may be able to jo have you come into our fraternity, the fraternity of grumpy old past masters. Now that you're a district deputy grand master, that's part of that's automatic entry into our group. So I have been accused of being one of those grumpy past masters. I think it was true, and I think I learned a lot from COVID. And what I learned was, men pretty much are lonely, and we need each other's company. So if this was the way that we filled a more important need, that's making our brothers feel important and part of something bigger, then that is actually what I found. Even the old active members that were, 97 and opposed us even making films. They saw it. There was no doubt that we had to do something. We had to think out of the box. The bigger question became for us is, after COVID's over, do we continue with Thursday Night at the Right? And it was probably, I don't know, 60-40 among our leadership to keep it going. But among our members, as I said, we survey all the time. Our members made, there's no doubt to our members, we are having a season 5 and season 6 and season 7. You might as well stop calling them seasons. They actually want us to have them all year long.
Yeah, they don't want to stop. I get
Yeah,
it.
so that it's kind of answered itself. So yeah, but grumpy old men that are old past masters, it doesn't mean it's a permanent state of mind. We've all kind of moved by past it.
I've got a few that our current master, he asked me something and I'll go right into my year. I'd be like, Ben, I apologize. That was when I did it. You do whatever you'd like. I'm just,
Right.
you know.
Right.
So viewership, because obviously men want it. We're continuing with the Thursday night at the right. What is the difference in viewers, season 1 to season 5, now that we're in it?
Well, it isn't the same. Literally, it can't be the same, because if it was the same as season 1, it literally wouldn't have been that popular. I mean, I think if we hadn't done our Masonic duty of understanding what it meant to our members, and once we understood that, we have a responsibility to make it better. That's just becomes your responsibility, even if you're as lazy as I am. You have to think of it in a different way. So, as I said, there was no host the first season. We just did a lot of texting, and literally, what happened was we ran out of material. We literally didn't have any films to show anymore. So that's why in season 2, we tried to think outside the box, and we had a series of radio telecasts. And what we did was, at the Supreme Council, we have a beautiful theater. So on our very large stage, we literally built 20 something containers with plexiglass around them and with microphones in each one. And we did like a ra old time radio ad, but they were more like dramatic readings. And once again, Jim, I literally was blown away when we turned the chat back on, how much the brothers appreciate it. They just appreciate the effort. I mean, I think it says something about us as Freemasons. We just appreciate the effort. Yes, there's the grumpy old past masters, or you said the instead of they, but But in general, we are very forgiving and with our brothers. We just
Sure.
are. It's part of what makes us, we love each other, even though if
Yeah.
we don't know each other, we still find a way to love each other. It's
Sure.
kind of strange for a man to say that, but we do.
That's true, yeah.
So we were able in season three to get out of that cycle. And that's when the Thursday Night at the Right you know now began to grow and hopefully get better every time. That's when we decided that it would be important for not just for us to have the Valley of Boston, which is right down the street, do every play. Let's actually tie it in to our whole Northern Masonic jurisdiction Scottish Rite journey.
Yeah.
I'm in a unique position. Why don't we put you in the frame of we'll put in the frame of a camera a different valley every single show, and you get to follow me as I make new friends. They can become your friends, our
Yeah.
brothers, the members of the valleys that we visit.
Yeah.
So, and we can see how they all interpret the degrees different, because in the Valley of Boston we have a huge theater, but
Right.
in some places they have a conference room or a
Right.
lodge, or
Sure.
they just don't have, we don't all have the same assets. So everybody has to adapt. And it's interesting to watch how they adapt. But the one thing that we found, season three, four, now we've shot all season five, where you're just now, we're editing it and putting it together for publication now. The spirit is the same.
Yes.
The sense of pride of your valley. The need to be a representative, an ambassador for your valley and give it its best light. All of those things, no matter where we go, Marquette, Michigan, Bangor, Maine, Indianapolis, Indiana, Philadelphia, I don't care where we go, that is always the same. And that's encouraging to me as a Scottish Rite Mason. And I hope we embrace it and even build on that.
Yeah. Going back to the first kind of radio read through, I know when that was promoted, the very first one, I was tuning in anyhow because I wasn't going anywhere, but it was like, okay, what's this going to be like? I need to almost, on top of wanting to see, I just want to see how it happens because this is something completely out of my wheelhouse. So but then, moving to the different valleys, the thing that I like, and I caught one, it was the Valley of Cincinnati, which is on, I'm complete other side of Ohio. I'm 5 minutes from the PA border. But I know those guys down there. I know Nathan Trester, I know Ernie Brown and some of those guys. The great thing about moving to different valleys across the state, and myself, I'm active on social media. I do marketing. So I'm always looking for Masons who are spark plugs, all over. So it's exciting when I hop on something like that and you spot one of them. Like, oh, wait a minute. I'm Facebook friends with them. We're brothers. And there's that little bit more connection and reason why I want to reach out and say, hey, this is something that's really exciting. And I'm glad I saw you doing it,
Ernie Brown was in the 20th Degree movie we directed, right?
I did know that, and if I was sitting there and he walks by and I'm like, is that Ernie? I
That's
almost had to
Ernie
do a
Brown.
double take. I'm like, son of a gun.
It wasn't he awesome?
Oh, amazing. Absolutely amazing. He was the first time I met him, we were in Indianapolis for there was a tri-degree day for Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana. The Grand Lodges came together and the Grand Lines did each degree. And I was only Facebook friends with him at that time. And I'm driving around. The tri-degree day was the same time as the Indianapolis Marathon. So they had roads blocked off. It was hard to get around. I couldn't get across the lawn. And I saw Ernie walking. It's the first time I ever spoke to him. I just yelled out my window, Ernie, where do I park? And he stopped and guided me over. And then we talked the whole way in, and just one of those connections that just keeps coming up, funny
the
how.
brothers may not know this, but Ernie, when you see Ernie, he is a unique looking character.
Yes.
There, so you could pick him up at one of the things that your brothers may not know, our brothers may not know, is that as I said, we do movies, and we've over the last few years we've done three of what I think are the best: The 17th Degree, which we actually filmed in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and we literally built a temple to
Wow.
shoot it in. The Fourth Degree. The 20th Degree was our last one. Well, the 20th Degree is what Ernie was in, and we literally and Thursday Night at the Right was the vehicle we used for this. When we would go do a Thursday Night at the Right, we would have regional auditions for the 20th Degree.
Okay.
So the actors that you see in the 20th Degree are from nine different states.
Wow.
They really was an all-star cast. Some of them were actually actors, so in real life.
Wow, okay.
And that's part of the reason why I think it was so great. I'd like to think that it's because Marcus and I are just we know how to produce and direct these things, but it helps when somebody knows what they're doing.
Right.
So the 20th Degree is my favorite, and
Sure.
so we know some, and there's actually three people from Cincinnati in that, and one of the co-directors, Todd McIntosh, is from Cincinnati too. So
Yeah, see,
we got
crazy
some
how
Ohio connection.
that the connection. That's I say in masonry so much, it's meaningful connections. Chad Kapinski says that, I say it. And that's why I love doing this podcast, because before this, Jim Dill was somebody I saw on Thursday Night at the Right. And he was a brother, and that's where I saw him. But now, you know, I have a meaningful connection and then a reason to try to head up your way.
All right,
I'm
yeah,
looking to see if my wife heard.
you're always welcome in the great city of Boston.
Love it. So we're coming up season five. So what are we
Yeah.
expecting? Give us a little insight on what's going to happen here. What's going to.
More a higher quality,
Okay.
more education and more emphasis. You'll see that in the interviews. I don't just do the interviews by myself anymore because they've become very, very much a part. So
Yeah.
one of my partners in crime, his name is Marcus Abbott. He's the executive producer of our Supreme Council annual meeting.
Okay.
He's also been a producer of almost every movie that we've made. But now he works for the Supreme Council. He's not a subcontractor anymore. And he usually talks to the guys about the stuff that's happening in the theater, where I'm talking more about valley life, so that
Yeah.
we're introducing more different perspectives, and we may even grow it in season six. I know that in season six, we're actually going to add a whole educational piece that I've figured out is missing. And here's
Okay.
kind of what it is. When you go
Sure.
to your to the Valley of Youngstown,
Yeah.
and you get a degree, well, you have all sorts of ceremonial parts of the degree that are happening before the degree or after the degree, and it's all putting it into a shell so you understand the true lesson that was meant to be. But we don't
Sure.
have that on Thursday Night at the Right. So I think that we should use our assets. We have people that are professional educators, and I think we need to add a little shell around it in season six and make sure they understand what the lessons were, or even
Yeah.
just be honest and express that maybe 100 years ago when they made that degree, that kind of made sense to them. But to us, it's not really making sense anymore. So let me explain to you what they might have been thinking.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So that's season six. Season five, I'm hoping you just see better. And by the
Sure.
time we get at the end of season five, we will have in our library a digital version of every degree in some way, whether it be a movie or a stage play. No, there won't be any more radio adaptations.
Yeah.
So, because what's happened to us is the plays have become so important that in some valleys where they're going through maybe a whole new group of people that are putting on their theater productions,
Yeah.
but they've actually never seen The 17th Degree.
Okay.
So if I can send them a recording of the 17th degree, so the cast and crew can sit around and the director can sit around and watch it and see, okay, well, this is one way that they adapted it. Let's see how we can do it.
Sure.
They're not starting from scratch anymore.
So I like that.
We actually use it as an educational piece. And during a season, I probably get 20 requests.
Oh yeah, it makes a lot of sense, you know.
So that's kind of what season 5 has added.
Well, you know, I think that where your production value goes up in season 5, that trickle down to where the Valley's production level goes up too. Everybody wins with it, which I really like. And I like season 6, that shell that I'm always in for education. I love that. And so many people watch something and get something different out of it. You know what I mean? I may watch it and be hooked on one aspect of it and miss part of the overall arcing. I know, working through the HOTS grads, in reading through some of them, some of the degrees you had to go through, I'm like, wow, I missed that. I'm like, glad I read this because I was completely off. You know, I got part of it, but not the whole thing. So I think that that would really add another layer to it, which is
excellent. I wrote quite a few of the tests in HGA, but the only reason I did is because I literally have been part of a crew for probably every single degree. Because if I was just to sit down as to witness it, I'm not the quickest one in the room. I literally need to watch it a couple of times to really be able to get it. When you're part of it, when you're part of the production crew, you have to pay attention. You see these details because you're going through rehearsals and you've read the script and all of these things. So, and one of the things, Jim, that we know through our surveys is that there's one word that encapsulates what our brothers in the Scottish Rite want: more.
Yes.
They want more, everything. They want, if it has anything to do with masonry, they want more. So if anything else in season 6, and we've started to build on it season 5 to put a foundation in place so that we can build this into the now seems to be never ending Thursday night at the Rite.
Right.
I think at some point we're probably gonna have to change the name because it's like tonight.
Right.
So anyway, that's what they want and that's what we try to deliver. We work hard at trying to deliver it. And you can trust me, you know these brothers like I do. They are not shy about sending me emails.
Yes. Oh, I know. You get the good and the bad. I know exactly.
It's more good than bad.
Oh, yeah. But I think that that's one thing, too, with Masons in general. We're opinionated. We're very strong values and strong thoughts. And
nothing wrong with that.
Right, whether it's Boston Celtics or the Cleveland Cavs or the Browns or the Patriots. Somehow, my son is a Patriots fan. How it happened, I don't know. I'm a huge Browns fan. But so we got another little Boston connection there. So I always like to ask this, and this is kind of a different little twist on it with us talking Scottish Rite more so. I like the elevator speech. You know, you see a guy and you see a square and compass and say, how do you join masonry? Well, in this sense, okay, I'm a mason and you and I are together and you have a Scottish Rite Valley shirt on or what on. I say, you know what, Jim, what is a Valley? What is Scottish Rite? Why should I take that next step? What is your talk that you would give me to say, hey, this is what it is, this is why?
So this is not hypothetical for me because I get it all the time, and I'm privileged to wear the 33rd degree ring, which is an honor, which is a whole different show in and of itself.
Yes.
But so I get that even from Scottish Rite Masons who may not even quite understand what the 33rd is. But to tell you the truth, I don't find it difficult to explain the Scottish Rite experience the way I do the Freemason experience.
Sure.
I find it difficult to explain Freemasons to non-Masons.
Yes.
Scottish Rite, that's different. Because when I'm speaking to about Scottish Rite, I'm speaking to a brother Master Mason. So we begin at the same place.
Right.
Supposedly, we follow the same principles. We believe in them. We value them. So for that, brother, I say this.
Yeah.
First, you need to become a Scottish Rite Mason, but you need to become an active Scottish Rite member.
Sure.
Just don't even join if you don't want to become involved in your valley.
Right.
You'll get more education than you ever thought possible. That's building on your fundamental Masonic teachings. And in the Scottish Rite, we have, like I said before, we have 29 degrees, and we present them as stage adaptations, and sometimes they're pretty elaborate stage adaptations.
Yeah.
And they're designed to put those teachings in action in your own life, to give you ways to not just say tolerance is important. How do you put tolerance? How do you put service to humanity? How do you put reverence for God or devotion to country? How do you put those in action in your
Right.
life? Because they're just on the shelf that other
Right.
if you don't put them into action. So that's what they're designed to do. And hopefully that makes you not just a better Mason, it makes you a better husband, father, or brother,
Right.
all of which are important to us. But second, and it's as important to me now, as more important to me now, I think, than it was before. Your world of like-minded men expands.
Yes.
So you have more opportunities to serve and learn with brothers in fellowship with laughter that you can't imagine. I have more friends that are Scottish Rite Masons than everything else. I'm a pastor's deputy grand master. I tell you that most of the people became my friends during that period in the Grand Lodge are
Sure.
probably Scottish Rite Masons too.
Right.
So that's what I would say to you. If you, and I would also say, what do you have to lose? Join
Right.
us. Journey on.
Love that. Absolutely love it. All right. Well, I love this. This was an excellent time. I'd like to thank you, Brother Jim Dill, for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the Traveling Man. I really, really appreciate the knowledge you've dispensed today.
It was my pleasure, Jim. As I said earlier, anytime I get the chance to talk to Masons about Freemasonry is exciting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd also like to take just another moment and thank the Scottish Rite Northern Masonic Jurisdiction for sponsoring the show and making this podcast happen today. And lastly, as always, I'd like to thank all of you out there listening, and we'll see you again.